Well, to a story of community-led recovery and resilience, with a look back at this year's wildfires in Nelson and Tasman District. New Zealand's largest aerial firefight on record, and the largest since 1955. Back in February, two separate fires, just 20 kilometres apart, forced 3,000 residents of Wakefield out of their homes, and a further 97 people from the Redwood Valley area. At its peak, fire and emergency deployed 23 helicopters, two aircraft, 23 heavy machines and more than 150 firefighters. And while it took a month for the fires to be declared controlled, the work to make the community more resilient continues to this day. Well, to talk about how the community rallied together and what was learned, Wakefield Fire Station Chief Fire Officer Fritz Buchendahl. Hello, Fritz.
Good morning, Catherine.
And good morning to Wakefield Constable Jamie White. Hi, Jamie.
Morning, Catherine. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Could you take us back to early February of this year and what each of you remember about the conditions and then just how quickly this fire became a major? Fritz, what was your story of the day?
It was a very, very hot day. Like, the temperature was in the high 20s. We haven't had any rain for about 5 or 6 weeks. We're in drought code. And the wind was, 15, 20 knots. So it was just a perfect storm, really. It was just waiting for the ignition source to take off. And unfortunately, it did happen at Pigeon Valley. Once the fire started, it just raged. It was just out of control too quickly.
Had you almost been anticipating there would be a big fire sometime in the summer?
We were, to be honest. Yes, we were. Just because of the conditions, the fire drought codes and all the rest, just, as I say, it was just a perfect storm for something to happen. So everyone was on edge. It was going to start somewhere, but no one really knew when and where.
I imagine there's been a lot of, investigation, frankly, and a lot of looking back on both what ignited the fire and on the response. Have we got clarity on that now, that there was certainly a focus on some farm machinery being used? It's a farming area, obviously. And have we found out what did start the fire officially, Fritz?
Officially started the fire was the farmer disking his paddocks, metal discs on a rock. Got a spark going, and that was the ignition source. Yes, so that was correct.
And then the speed with which this just took off, has either of you seen anything like it?
No, it was just all the conditions and that wind. The wind was the biggest enemy by far, plus the light fuels. Then it drove up on a hill face, and when a fire hits a hill, it gets hotter and hotter as it goes up the hill, and the spread, spread was phenomenal, really.
From the firefighter's perspective first, how do you even strategize? And could you talk us through that first day or so, strategizing on how to combat it, given the conditions and then the changing conditions? What kind of system kicks in?
The first strategy is life. That's the most important. We've got to protect life. Property is second. So when the fire's out of control, which it was, we couldn't contain it, then we looked to the exposures and trying to minimise the damage done by the fire. So that's when we started evacuating people to make sure life wasn't at threat, and just making sure even the firefighters aren't at threat, and just putting systems in place, looking further ahead, what's going to happen next hour, what's going to happen the next 3-4 hours, and try and second guess what the fire is going to do, so you can put strategies in place to protect life and property.
Constable Jamie White, what do you recall when these fires got underway, and then when it became clear to you that Wakefield, the most heavily populated community within reach of the fires, was going to have to be evacuated? How do you recall what happened?
Well, the first thing I remember, Catherine, is on Tuesday, I wasn't working, I was on a day off, and because my parents live up Pigeon Valley, where it started, not too far from where the fire actually started on the farm, and I remember I was up there with my younger brother, Mitch, and some other family, and I remember seeing the smoke, and obviously we were going there just to have a look as in more civilian capacity, and I was obviously amazed to see how quickly the fire took off. At that point, I personally had no idea to the extent it was going to escalate. And I suppose for us, you know, it was just seeing it as a civilian. We have our own personal forestry, so there was some concern there that that would ignite. But for me, it wasn't till the next day on the Wednesday morning when my mother, Alison, rang me about early hours of the morning. It was probably about 5 o'clock or maybe 5:30, and rang and said that our trees were on fire. So the fire at that point, it wasn't in the initial path of the fire, but the fire had backburnt at that point. And during the course of the evening, it had backburnt to our forestry, and it had jumped into our trees. And that was when I really at that point there, I knew that with it burning towards there, that there was certainly Pigeon Valley initially was in danger. And needed to be evacuated.
I think the pine plantation was lost in the fire, so it's both personal to you and to your family, but equally, as you say, it's becoming clear to you with your local knowledge just how big this is getting and to get. Professionally, what was involved, especially as we said in that protection of human life, the firefighters, but also the residents, what was the sort of decision-making and communication that had to happen?
Well, I think obviously at a higher level, the decision was made due to how the fires had escalated and how they've got out of control, that first of all, Pigeon Valley needed to be evacuated, certainly the Dovedale Hill end of it, so the western end. So I commenced with a couple of other colleagues initially to evacuate Pigeon Valley, which was up towards Sharps Road where near where the fire had started. And it just became, at that point, it was there in the South Branch that we started evacuating locals. And the priority, obviously, as Fritz was saying before, is life. And so it was a case of getting people out as quickly as we could and helping however we could to get people to be able to leave their properties.
As it inched closer to Wakefield itself, as we said, 3,000 people there, the most heavily populated area it seemed to be reaching towards, what was your experience of people and of their response and the reality that their town could be so threatened?
Well, obviously, for a couple of days, there was no... Wakefield was obviously on high alert. Certainly, I remember being in the village, it was either Thursday or Friday morning. I think it was Thursday morning, and there was a lot of ash and burnt pine needles floating down into the village. And at that point, I know that certainly locals were concerned. Obviously, Civil Defence had put them on alert to prepare to evacuate. And I know that there was a lot of concerns. I had a lot of concerned residents asking me, should they leave? So there was certainly people concerned for their safety. And then when that call was made to evacuate, on the whole, I think most of the village was ready to go. I think people were pretty well prepared. And a lot of people, as we commenced that evacuation, a lot of people had already up and left with that civil defence alert long before we'd actually even got to addresses.
As the firefighters were dealing with the different ways the fire was behaving in different places, and then at some point I think we had a hill fire in Nelson as well. As this was happening, there was also the animal welfare, Jamie, and you were having to obviously sort of work in with what's happening with the fire and the firefighting, but I think you led an emergency operation to take animal feed to affected farms. What was happening both with distressed farmers but also with those trying to help keep the animals okay?
Well, certainly initially the Pigeon Valley had been evacuated, but that allowed some controlled access back to addresses. But as the fire escalated, they became hard cordons and no one was allowed through other than emergency services and other necessary people to go through. At that point, people weren't allowed to get back to their houses. Some had removed the stock if they were able to, but most had to leave in such a hurry that they were only able to take some pets. So there were a lot of stock, and because it was obviously extremely dry, a lot of stock didn't have access to feed and had to have supplementary feed given to them, and farmers were unable to get back to their stock, and also people in residential lifestyle blocks were unable to get to their animals to feed them. So it became clear to me very quickly that people needed, or people's animals and stock needed to be looked after. And at that point, I had a lot of locals contacting me, distressed and concerned that their animals were either going to become very well or die. And so I decided at that point that I needed to For the ones that contacted me, I just recorded their details, and when I went to a farm, I would ring each one and ask them what they needed done. If it was a tractor being driven and hay being fed out, I would do that. If it was pets being fed, even as far as the local bakery, who weren't able to sell a lot of stuff, we were able to take a lot of that to chooks and pigs and whatnot. And so it was certainly in that early stage when people weren't able to get up there. It was, as a farmer or growing up on a farm myself, I knew the importance of getting those animals fed and stock fed. And certainly as time went on, we allowed controlled access back in there.
Fire Officer Fritz Bockendale, the fire began, I think 17 of the brigade's 22 volunteers turned up. I think you were the first on the scene at Pigeon Valley, but the ferocity of the blaze meant you couldn't attack it directly. So the job became to protect homes. And of the many stories out of this fire, is the success of the brigade in protecting many homes a standout?
Yeah, it was a joint effort. I mean, Wakefield was there, but also we had lots of help from the other local brigades, Brightwater, Appleby, came, Richmond, Stoke. It was just a lot of brigades all there doing their thing and helping, stopping. So it just wasn't Wakefield. It was the total Fens operation that kind of saved the day. And Mother Nature too, she kept blowing the fire back into the forestry, which was in some ways good for the residents, probably bad for the forestry company. But Mother Nature dictates which way the fire goes.
So no loss of life, and as we said, many homes saved that might not have been without firefighters' intervention. Have there been lessons learned from that response? There's always the sort of the look back as people have to make decisions so quickly, but has there been anything learned? And I think particularly in the context that this may increasingly be our future in many parts of the country, Fritz.
Yeah, I believe lessons were probably learnt from the Port Hills fire in Christchurch. And so when we had our big event at Pigeon Valley, they've took a lot of learnings from the Port Hills and transposed it to the Pigeon Valley. So we had a really good sound structure and systems and processes in place. So it went really, really well. So that was good. Probably the biggest thing is education, I think, is a big learning from here, from what happened. The forestry industry, they have a code of practice, and when the fire index goes up, there's certain things forestry operations can and can't do. And I think at that time, logging crews were stopping at 12 o'clock midday because getting too hot and too dry. I think the farming sector probably needs to be brought into the fold like the forestry and have some protocols and systems and processes in place. And that's where Fens is working very closely with the farmers. Is education, I think, is the secret to prevent some of these fires.
It's a reminder to all of us in the big dry, isn't it, that even a flicked cigarette butt or any kind of ignition can just have an impact that is hard for the human brain to imagine, but it happens. Thank you both very much, and look, here's hoping it is a much quieter fire season, and perhaps one even where big blazes are avoided altogether. Thank you, Wakefield Fire Station Chief Officer Fritz Bockendale, and thanks also to Wakefield Constable Jamie White as we look back on one of the early big news events of 2019, the February fires in Nelson, Tasman.